The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
There's a part of my vocation story that I've rarely shared with people, but every once in a while I mention it here or there. But often I think in our Christian life, as we progress, you know, actually make an effort at progressing in holiness, we sort of spend a lot of time reflecting also on our life, on our past life, how we got to the point that we are right now. Sometimes that's a hard thing because many of the things we reflect on for our past life are difficulties or sins in our life that we struggled with. But sometimes they're also illuminating things, things where the Lord's showing us his hand and his operation in our life from the very beginning of our life. And for me, when I was in Brooklyn, when I was a little kid, we had this. There was, not in the main part of the church, but my sister went to school at St. Brendan's. That's where I was baptized in Brooklyn. And up this stairwell on the way to the school, there was a huge crucifix, kind of like a life-size crucifix, probably similar to the size of our resurrected Jesus that we have there. But it was, kind of scary as a child. You know, that's the only word I could think of it, because I remember my sister and I being there in the hallway and just like looking up at it, and it was just like, wow, it was just so striking though. But the one thing, even as a little kid, and I was only about 4 years old at that time, 3 or 4 years old, I remember, it's one of the first memories that I actually have is of the crucifix. And I thought to myself, oh gosh, you know, like, you know, when I looked up there in that fear of a little child, that sometimes I, when I've reflected on it, I was sort of afraid in the presence, but I was like, but that's God. That's what I was like. I knew that Jesus was God, and I knew that that's why we came to church. And so even at a young age, I already understood that, you know, that there was a reason why that symbol was so unbelievably important to us. But I thought back years and years later, the cross became probably the most important sacramental or symbol in my whole entire life in priesthood. And I thought back on that moment, and I wondered if, as I gazed upon that cross, the reason that I was scared at that moment as a little boy is if the Lord was calling me then, and then I couldn't accept it. And it's as if he said to me, it's just like, okay, I'll show you then. I'll show you with your life, through your life. And then eventually, the very thing that I feared as a little kid, you know, I came to embrace. It's a weird thing. You know, it's a profound thing, because if you think about it, if you think about, I don't know, any implement of somebody's death, even in the current day, think of death by lethal injection or an electric chair. This was such an unusual symbol for Christians to start to wear and celebrate. It would be like having an electric chair on a gold chain and wearing that around. It's like, that's not a normal thing to do, right? But it was so profound because of the Lord being the implement of his death and also the implement in which we were saved, that it completely changed the symbol, you know, it completely turned it on its head. And 2 weeks ago, I was talking about sacraments and sacramentals. And one of the important things that I reminded everybody is that, you know, sacraments are these visible signs of an invisible reality. So remember, you know, like I always say, this baptismal font and the water of the font are these visible signs that give us something invisible, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ into the soul of a person. And so in a similar way, but not in the same way, a sacramental, like these sacred vessels, like a crucifix, like the crucifixes and saints' medals that you have around your neck, those things are like doorways and dispositions for us to receive the sacraments fully. And so they're one of, and we have one of the first sort of appearances in a way of a sacramental in the future. You know, just like in that Old Testament reading, at that point, the Lord commands them to put a serpent on a pole so that all who look at that can be healed through it, through the sacramental power that's through there, and of course, through God, through a command of God. And that's the reading that we use to remind us of this. This crucifix mounted on this pole, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we were all saved through his sacrifice, through the cross itself. And that's why we venerate it, we honor it, that's why we proclaim it and we preach it. We, like St. Paul says, we preach Jesus Christ crucified. So not anymore do we hold a serpent above our head to be saved, but we hold this above our head to be saved so that all who gaze upon it and believe in him who's crucified on it are saved. I mean, it's a profound, profound reality in our life. And it shows us that through those sacramentals that we wear, especially the cross, that it can open a doorway and give us a disposition to be able to receive Christ himself. And so that every time we look at it, we realize that, like, every pain and every suffering that each one of us has ever felt has already been felt before on the cross. That when we unite our sufferings to Jesus on the cross, that there's really nothing that we've experienced that is difficult that he has not already taken upon himself. And with arms outstretched, is willing to embrace and take away from each one of us. That's why the burden of Jesus Christ is easy, and then the yoke is light. That's why the cross is actually light. Because again, like I bring up sometimes the parable of the prodigal son, there's a sense in the world, just like the prodigal son, that like the burden of the church, the burden of the cross, the burden of being Catholic is a restriction of my freedom. And then what happens to the prodigal son? He's like, if I could just get out from under my father's house, then I'll truly be free. And we all know how that turned out for him, right? Not so good. So much so that he's just dreaming about being back in his father's embrace and in his life again. And so we realize that not extracting ourselves from something that seems like an inhibition of our freedom, but being attached to it, makes our life actually easier because the Lord is helping us carry these difficulties because they're united with him. If we realize that, then our life can absolutely transform because we don't have to carry it by ourselves. Now, in the same way, the great danger that's in this world is that there are other dispositions and sort of like anti-sacramentals, and they're becoming more and more prevalent in our world. And so you have to be aware of them and especially protect your children and your family from these different things. Do you know why? You know, we see these different readings in the scripture, right? Who also believes in God and in Jesus? The devil, right? He's the one who always recognizes who Jesus is, right? But I forget which movie it was in, and I think it's originally a literary reference, but there's that reference that says, the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled is convincing the world that he doesn't exist. That's why he can function out in the open right now and people are just being led around by him. And so it's just like, you know who also believes in the devil? Father Carey and myself and my brother priest. Do you know why? Because we get messages on our phone about people who are dealing with really strange and dark things. And they're usually because they've opened doorways and have dispositions towards a spirit of evil. Things like tarot cards and horoscopes and Ouija boards and mediums and any type of thing where people are trying to tap into knowing knowledge that is only reserved by God. Trying to tap into the future and different things like that. Healing power of crystals, all these different things. If your power does not come from Jesus Christ, then it's coming from another spiritual reality. The spiritual reality is the devil. And so those are not doorways that you want to open. But yet, especially in the Northwest, it's extremely prevalent. People continue to open these doorways, and then my phone rings, and I'm like, oh, my favorite, demons. You know, and it's just like that. And, you know, like I said in seminary, we're not trained heavily about these things, right? So you have to continue to do a lot more study and a lot more prayer to even figure out how to handle them. But one of the ways us as Catholics could ward that off is by opening the proper doors and having the proper dispositions. And we do that by the right sacramentals, sacramentals from God. And so the power of the cross is the thing that heals us. It was the thing that actually freed us because of Jesus' sacrifice on it. So our reverence for it is one of the highest reverence we can have toward a sacramental thing. With great honor, we always remember that we were freed through that implement of the cross. And what became a means of destruction became a means of salvation for every one of us. And so it's a powerful, powerful symbol in our life. And if for those of you who have a breaking bread, there's even a prayer on the back of that that's like a prayer before a crucifix. So for those of you who have the breaking bread, probably one of those things we just overlook time and time and again, flip it over and look at that prayer and stand before a crucifix and pray that prayer today. God bless you all.